Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Normally, Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us at noon on Tuesdays. He had something come up today, so he will join us tomorrow at 11:30. But some news coming down in the college football sphere last night. Let's go back a couple of years ago. This is almost 2 years ago exactly, summer of 2021, when it was leaked by a Texas A&M beat writer that Texas and Oklahoma were planning on joining the SEC, which of course sent shockwaves throughout college football circles. Fast forward to this time, around this time last year. It was reported that USC and UCLA will join the Big Ten in 2024. So now you've got four of the biggest brands in college football and college sports in Texas and Oklahoma joining one of the biggest conferences in college football and college sports in the SEC, USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten, which then made every other conference kind of shake in their boots a little bit. Every other team and big program that didn't have a solidified home in either the Big Ten or the SEC start to wonder, okay, what is for us? What's next for us? Because you add USC and UCLA, the Big Ten renegotiated their TV rights that is now worth $1 billion through 2030. The SEC negotiated their rights with ESPN, and their TV deals are now worth north of $800 million through the next 10 years. So the SEC and the Big Ten and each of its member schools are cashing in big time. It leaves the Big 12 with $380 million. The Pac-12 with $250 million, the ACC with $240 million. The differences between the Big Ten and the SEC and the rest of the Power Five conferences is massive. So now the next chapter of conference realignment has come out with the magnificent seven in the ACC. Clemson, Florida State, Miami, UNC, NC State, Virginia, and Virginia Tech are all negotiating with lawyers and looking into what it would take, how much it would cost for them to break away from the ACC and find a more, you know, solidified home with a bigger payday in either the Big Ten or the SEC. And there's a lot of red tape that those schools are going to have to go through. The grant of rights agreement, ACC's TV deal that runs through 2036, and it's $120 million just to break away from the ACC minimum. And then you get into all of the legal red tape that it would take to actually leave the conference. Begs the question, is it really worth it? And is the ACC on thin ice?
Is that the longest current deal that's in existence? The ACC one, it runs to 2036.
ACC runs through 2036. The next closest is the AAC, the American Athletic Conference, through 2032.
So they're based, it's almost like they're stuck. And they're trying to get out of it because they see what the Big Ten and the SEC is doing. And they're afraid that if they don't, then these teams will find a way to lose.
Find a way to leave.
And rightfully so. You see what SC and UCLA just did. They left their conference to join the Big Ten. So will it happen? I don't know. I'm sure there is a lot of red tape you got to go through, but they're trying to, you know, get ahead of potentially losing, you know, these teams. We talked about months ago, Willie, in Caroline, about basketball and the whole, you know, Big East and how they sort of broke up. It was like slowly they did it. One team left and then another team left. And then all of a sudden the Big East became what we thought was the Big East before. It didn't resemble it now. And we saw how, you know, because the Big East was back then, we wanted to watch it playing basketball. You know, you wanted to watch the Big East. And then because teams left, the conference sort of
diminished. Because of football.
Yeah, because of football, the conference sort of diminished. I'm sure the ACC.
And now it's sort of reborn.
It's reborn
in a basketball only group of schools.
Exactly.
And it's
but it took some years.
It took a long time.
Yeah.
But right now, what you have is what I think is fun as a sports fan. You have a good league.
Exactly.
Of teams that are sort of like minded, at least to a point. It works geographically, even though Creighton's in there somehow. You know, that's in Omaha and they're playing against Seton Hall and St. John's, that's a little bit of a stretch. But for the most part, it's got the roots of what we grew up watching.
Yeah.
But why? Football isn't getting in the way.
Exactly.
So the football and the money, as we know, has been running this for a long, long time. And it really saddens me because I don't think it's a great thing from a sports fan perspective. I like just the principle of having a league of about 10 or 12 teams at the most. Mm-hmm. 8 can work. 10 can work. 12 can work. 14 is a little much. 16 is too many to me. But it's going that way. And a lot of people believe it will end up one way or the other with two super leagues, right, in sort of a different category, especially now that the USC-UCLA thing. So now everybody's reacting. The ACC has been saying all along, well, we got this ironclad grant of rights deal. Nobody can leave. Everybody's got to stay. But now the lawyers are even looking into that. It's very clear that some of the teams are not satisfied with how things sit right now in the ACC because they're falling behind monetarily, resource-wise, and they think the grass could be greener if they were free to leave.
But eventually...
The ride keeps going, right? The ride never stops.
Yeah, and I can see why they want to sort of go to this Magnificent Seven league because, yes, it costs, what, $120-something million to get out.
Minimum.
There might be a school within this that decides, okay, we want to pay that just to get out of this. And then what happens after that? One leaves, then another one finds a way to get out, then another one finds a way to get out because they're willing to pay the money because they understand that the prize at the end is bigger than what we're paying now. So why not try to get these seven teams all to do it at once and get their own league established? And then maybe once you get that league established, then you can get other teams to come in. But the way it's sitting now, the ACC is locked into this contract where it's going to be these teams unless a team is willing to pay the enormous amount of money to get out.
It goes back to also a principle of being in a league.
Mm-hmm.
Should a league be treat all members of the league equally, share the revenue equally, or should the bigger fish get a higher share of who's bringing in the revenue?
Right.
That's why Texas left the league that they were in when they did. And that started really this whole ball rolling, right? That's when everything started shaking up. Texas said, look, we're bringing in more money. We should get more money. And that sort of started the ball rolling down the hill to where we are now. And now Florida State appears to be playing that card now.
Florida State was the first one to say, hey, look, we bring in a whole lot more cash than Wake Forest does.
Or Boston College. Yeah, or Duke or whoever.
And Miami and Clemson were saying, yeah, you know what? Like, we are the big-time schools. We are on primetime games. We bring in more money than these other Scarbinis, so we want more money. And, of course, the ACC said, you are in this grant of rights agreement. You signed on the dotted line. You are locked into this. So that's really kind of what motivated these moves, along with the fact that the ACC is making a quarter. These ACC member schools are making a quarter of what the SEC and Big Ten teams are making, even though there are member schools like Florida State or Clemson or Miami that have the same kind of reputation and bring the same kind of oomph that an Alabama or an Ohio State or a Michigan might bring. So it makes total sense that these schools in the ACC are looking at their deal and saying, whoa, okay, this isn't fair. The football schools are saying, this isn't fair. We want more money in order to compete with the Ohio States and the Michigans and the Alabamas and the Tennessees and the Floridas and the Georgias. We need more money that just isn't there from our TV agreement. But the next question is, these schools want to leave. Where are they going? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Riley, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I'd say it's in the back of your mind every day because you never want to get surprised. I also feel like the ACC is making strides, doing things the right way, trying to stay in that revenue realm with the Big Ten and the SEC. But really, if you can be good in football, run a good program, be broad-based, you're going to be attractive to any league. And we're certainly proud of the one we're in, but you keep your head on a swivel in times like these. And, yeah, the better we do, the better position we are. So it's kind of the same goal either way.
That was Whit Babcock, Virginia Tech's athletic director, just last week talking about conference realignments. And, hey, your head's always on a swivel. You're always looking out to see new opportunities. And now it has come out that Virginia Tech, along with six other ACC schools, have formed the Magnificent Seven, which is seven teams in the ACC that have been actively searching for some sort of loophole, some sort of way that they can get out of the ACC. They can go, you know, somewhere else to make more money, that they can break away from the ACC, which is making just a fraction of the TV deal money that the SEC and the Big Ten are making. I understand from their perspective why they would want to go to a more stable conference. But where are they going? And what makes the most sense for the Big Ten and the SEC? Because the Big Ten and the SEC are looking around like, look, we can pick and choose whatever teams we want in our conference. We are the desirable conferences to be in. We can be picky and choosy.
And how big do you want your league to be? Like, there are some people who just assume if they need to go to 24 teams, mm-hmm. they'll go to 24 teams. Like, but at some point, it's not really a league. It's more of a...
It's a sport.
It's not a league how we think of a conference.
It's a pro league. That's what it is.
It's the NFL.
Yeah.
More or less. It's getting that way where you almost have to have conferences within the league.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not the Big Ten as we know it. It's more of a league that has the Big Ten and the, you know, there's mm-hmm. leagues with, there's conferences within the league. AFC, NFC, almost.
And you also have to weigh what makes the most financial sense. This is all motivated by money. It's not about competitiveness.
No.
It's all money.
But it is competitiveness, too. Like, the Clemson, the Florida State, they feel like they're traditional powers. But if they're not getting the resources that teams in those other leagues are getting, they're like, well, we got to look at that. That's what the Florida State guy has been saying. Look, we want to, if we want to stay in this league, then it needs to be weighted towards the people that are bringing in the bacon, right?
And
that's a reasonable thing, but it's going to hurt. It's not equal. It's not fair to everybody in your league, even though, because some teams in your league are not going to be the same as others. It's like the NHL had to decide that it was worth having a salary cap. The NFL the same way. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if there's no salary cap? How would Green Bay make it? How would Nashville make it? We mm-hmm. couldn't be the same. Look what happened to the Montreal Expos in baseball with mm-hmm. no salary cap. So there is something to be said for giving everybody in your league a chance to compete.
And that's the key thing.
By revenue sharing.
Is once you add more teams, then you split up the revenue more. So you need to ensure that the teams that you're bringing in are bringing in enough revenue that ups the amount of money that each member school is getting. I look at the Big 12 adding in BYU and Cincinnati, and no disrespect to those schools, but the four teams that the Big 12 is bringing in, they don't even bring in a fraction of what Texas alone probably brings in for the Big 12. So not only are they not replacing the brands of Texas and Oklahoma, they're actually bringing in more schools that have to divide the revenue even more. So now member schools are making net less than what they were making with Texas and Oklahoma. So it's, let's say, you know, the SEC, you could say, well, it makes sense to bring in Clemson and Florida State to the SEC because those are football schools. Well, the SEC already has the Florida and the South Carolina TV market. So how much more value from a TV perspective do those two schools really bring to the SEC?
Well, right now, nothing, because the contract is set. So, you know,
if they were to break away,
yeah,
from
if they were to break away from the ACC and go to one of those conferences, say within the next 2 years, well, it's not like ESPN is going to go back and say, hey, listen, we see that you know, that y'all added some more teams. Let's up the money up so we can make sure everybody's getting a little bit more. No, they're not going to say that. What you got to do now is you got to divide it amongst another team. You got to cut another piece of the pie mm-hmm. and share it with another team. So I don't know how feasible this will be, at least anytime soon anyway.
Yeah.
Because, again, you and I talked about this off air, Caroline. They knew exactly, like, okay, you and your lawyers sat down with ESPN and their lawyers and presidents and everything else, and y'all put together this deal for the ACC. Y'all knew exactly how long it was and for how much money. And it wasn't like y'all did this deal in 2010, 2009. Y'all did this deal in 2019, somewhere around there. So y'all knew where the sports landscape was headed anyway, as far as money and what was going to be poured in and whatnot. But y'all still chose to sign this deal.
You know what's
changed
since then?
Up until 2036.
The NIL has changed things. I can see an athletic director saying, yeah, we did sign this in 2019, but now, you know, for us to keep up with some of these teams,
but
that extra $30 million that we could help, you know, they're not supposed to do it, but you have
to. But that
to
has
thinking.
Nothing to do with that. The NIL, because NIL is supposed to be outside of the, you know, monies.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's really an arms race, though, right?
Of course,
it's
yes.
Simply, it's how much. If we're bringing in $30 million less mm-hmm. than our competitors in these other leagues, then we're going to fall behind somewhere in there, right? We're not going to have the same ability to keep up.
What do you mean
that's
by
the fear. That's
but
the
what
fear.
Do they mean by falling behind? Because last I checked, Clemson ain't falling behind in resources. Florida State ain't falling
not
behind
yet.
In resources.
Not yet.
They won't
but
fall behind.
It's their fear.
No, they won't fall behind because they got enough boosters behind them to continue to donate to the university. So they're never going to truly, like, fall behind to a point where guys and girls are not going to want to come there to play sports.
I don't know that. If let's say I am a wide receiver from Detroit.
Uh-huh.
My name is Derek Mason, mm-hmm. and I'm deciding between Clemson and Alabama.
I'm going to Michigan State.
The year is 2030. in a totally Dundee. Fake world,
okay.
Alabama, over the last few years, has been getting four times as much income from their TV deal than Clemson has. You don't think that makes
a But how
a
much
bit
of that
difference?
Is coming to me?
Not NIL, but let's just say in resources, uh-huh. in the tools that school has available. It's hard to even think about these schools having even more resources than they already have, yeah. But let's use our imagination. The locker rooms, the opportunities, the coaches that they can pay. Four times as much revenue year over year than Clemson is getting under the existing deal. That makes a difference. And I know that NIL...
Is it really four times?
Well, the SEC's current deal is $811 million. Dollars. The ACC's is $240 million. So
God,
it's
they
about
got duped.
Four times.
Gosh, that is, they got duped.
The ACC got
the gap,
duped.
The gap is widening for
it's
sure.
Huge.
That,
but
I think
but
that's
what,
the
yeah. Well, I understand what you two are saying in regards to that. Like, okay, because our contract is bigger, we can do as a league, we can do more.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look in, but when you look at just say Clemson and Florida State, I think they're, you know, if you're talking about locker rooms, they're always going to have top-notch locker rooms. If you're talking about the field and you know, resources, they're always going to have top-notch resources. Why? At least in the football area. I don't know about basketball and stuff like that. Why? Because that's the moneymaker. That's the generator. So the money has to be put toward those programs in order for it to sustain. Now, listen, we may not have what Alabama has as far as money-wise, but you're not going to be able to tell there's not going to be a vast difference from walking in Alabama's, you know, football facility and walking in Clemson's football facility. Both of them have won national championships. Both teams have been relevant the last 10, 15 years. Both teams have had a number one pick at the quarterback position. So with that alone, it's going to continue. Those boosters are going to continue to give money outside of the deals that are made with these television contracts. That's all I'm saying. But every school is not going. But I can see, like, past Clemson in Florida State, other schools probably having problems.
Clemson is probably a more difficult comparison. Mm-hmm. But think about schools like Duke. Or, I mean, I think Duke actually would probably be a pretty desirable market to add to the SEC, mm-hmm. UNC and Duke. It's a North Carolina market that mm-hmm. they don't have. And even the Big Ten would probably look at UNC and Duke and say that those are very desirable.
Or NC State.
But they would look at it more so from a basketball standpoint.
Yeah.
Even though football, you bring them
football
in as football.
Is
yeah.
But that rivalry?
But those two schools would be like, oh, man, this is a benefit for benefit.
But
for
Duke
us
is
basketball.
Not in the Magnificent Seven.
They're not.
NC State is in the Magnificent
NC State seven. Is. Yeah. But I look at schools like Boston College. Like, let's say Florida State and Clemson and Duke and UNC, they may find their next landing spot. Mm-hmm. What happens to Boston College?
They just go ask Tim for some money. Shoot. That's what they do. They need to do. Just go ask Tim for some of that money.
The Hasselback scholarship fund. Yeah,
absolutely. But here's the bigger question in all of that. When you're doing this whole Magnificent Seven, who's playing Ethan Hawke? Who's playing Denzel Washington? You know, who is Ethan Hawke? Who's Denzel Washington?
Oh,
and the rest of these guys? Who? See, I mean, you gotta think about this stuff when
Florida
you start
State
naming.
Florida State is Denzel Washington.
Okay, Clemson is more Ethan Hawke. Uh-huh. Okay, all right, then we can go down the line with the rest of them. So
yeah, you use your imagination. I just think it is so fascinating because we could be talking about this and thinking about the future of college football and thinking, well, when does it stop with conference realignment? Yeah. Well, or maybe nothing comes of it.
But my thought would be, too, like at what point do we just need to say, look, football is driving this, so let's just mm-hmm. have a football. If we're going to do football this way and it's more convenient, you can do the travel. Is when you play once a week, that's one thing. But should we not maybe think about separating that from all the other sports and then let's have – real leagues and the other sports where you're playing more games, it makes more sense to have some geographic consideration because it's going out the window in football.
Very like, fair. And it's the same thing I thought of. You know,
from
how
a practical standpoint and a competitive standpoint, just makes more sense.
I thought, how in the world is the USC cross-country team going to bust to
right,
Ann Arbor? It
just
doesn't just
pick
make
a
any
sport.
Sense.
How about Rutgers?
Oh.
Like Rutgers versus yeah. USC in baseball. That's a...
Good Lord.
That's just silly.
That, in theory, that's – and pick a sport. It could be volleyball, anything. Like these are things
whatever.
The leagues have to deal with. And right now it's like, well, we got to take the money, so we got to figure it out.
But then how are the TV
enormous
deals
costing.
Work? How yeah. the TV deals work? Let's say we go into the, you know, the utopia, the dystopia of college football, however you want to call it, of two massive major conferences of the Big Ten expanded and the SEC expanded and just in football. Well, what about – Clemson swimming. Let's say they maintain the ACC in Clemson swimming. Well, what kind of TV deals do they have? What kind of share of the income do those?
Yeah, you got to figure out how
have?
That would
that's,
work.
That's
yeah.
the difficult thing. It's hard enough for Notre Dame to be negotiating mm-hmm. these deals with the ACC and the ACC network. Multiply that times 100. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Speaking of TV deals. An awfully questionable one made by the NFL that came out last night. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Billy D-Mays, 1025, 1063 The Game. Caroline Willie D-Mays, join 1025 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Forz Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes, so sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Did you guys see a pretty bold decision that the NFL made that came out yesterday?
Yep.
Regarding one of the primetime Saturday night playoff games. It will now be played on, streamed on Peacock.
Peacock.
On Peacock.
Mm-hmm. Only.
Only.
Only on Peacock. And the COO of NFL Media said, you know, we've had so much success this past season with Amazon Prime, Thursday night on Amazon, that we decided to expand in our streaming services and, you know, extend our relationships with certain networks in their streaming services and expand our programming on streaming services. I don't know about how you guys felt. I was floored when I saw this announcement. That it wasn't just a regular season game. This isn't the first time that an NFL game is being streamed on a streaming service. But an NFL playoff game? I was shocked.
And it's exclusively on it. Like, unless you're in that, say, like, if the Titans make it and they're on Peacock, we still will be able to see it.
Market.
Yeah, in this market. But, you know, in Kentucky or you know,
Baltimore.
They won't be able to see it. Yeah. Yeah.
And also the difference between Amazon and Peacock. Like, correct me if you think I'm wrong. Everybody has Amazon.
Yeah, you're almost forced to have Amazon.
You have to have Amazon.
Well, yeah. That's an interesting thing is, that, you know, it's all about getting more people to subscribe, right? That's the incentive for Peacock is this is the way that they force you to buy in and then hopefully watch their other shows, right?
That's how they try to pull you in. They do it. They've done it because I ordered Peacock like, some months ago because it was a show on there that not Young Sheldon. Even though I like Young Sheldon. But there were shows that they had on Peacock that they were not showing on any other channel, even though Peacock is an affiliate of NBC. They still wasn't showing it on the NBC channels or their streaming network. They were specifically showing it on Peacock. So I had to purchase Peacock in order to watch it. They're basically saying, this is what you're going to do with the NFL. And listen, regardless of how much we moan and groan and yell and hate it and don't hate it, we hated it when they said, well, we're going to put it on Prime. What a lot of people, well, no, I don't want you. Why are you just putting it on Prime? I don't have Prime and I got to pay for Prime. And this. But what the NFL saw is once all of that noise kind of got out of the way and it was on Prime, you pay for it. You put down your $10 to watch an NFL game on Thursday nights. You bought you bought Amazon Prime to watch an NFL game. You're going to do it with Peacock as well. And they know it.
But Jeff Bezos already had my money. I was already paying for Amazon Prime. And I feel like Amazon Prime is common enough that if you don't have it, your neighbor has it, your friend has it, your sons, your daughters, your nieces, nephews, whoever had it. I feel like the NFL is teetering a very slippery slope here, potentially ostracizing some older viewers. Because I feel like I'm probably in the target market of younger people who have cut the cord, who watch games and TV and consume media exclusively from streaming services. I don't have Peacock. I don't have cable. I use YouTube TV, other streaming services. I don't have Peacock. I don't have desire to get Peacock.
Okay, so it's your job to watch games, just like it's my job. It's Derek's job. I've always had one or the other, either the cable or the satellite, just because it's been more convenient for me to be able to say, okay, I get all the games. What's frustrating for me is now with all some of these twists and turns, it's frustrating. Like, look, I'm paying so I can get all of the games and I don't have to worry about all of these different streaming services here or there. I don't have this one. I got to have that one.
Right.
But if I have the plug in, it doesn't come up very often, but it's over the years, it's coming up more often,
right?
And this is the latest example. To get this playoff game that all my life, I love watching the wild card game, whatever this is going to be.
Yeah.
I like being able to flip on the game. Now I can't do it unless I have, so this is the trap. Okay, so let me flip it to you.
Yeah.
You're a cord cutter.
Uh-huh.
It's your job to watch games.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you get access to all the games you need to get to? And how much work are you having to do to get all the games?
I get access, I would say, to 99.9% of the games that I want to watch. Mm-hmm. And I pay kind of a hefty fee for it.
Okay, and so that's the other thing is once you subscribe to all of these services,
I may as well just have cable.
But now they're trying to double whammy me.
Now they're trying to pay for the streaming service and cable, and that's ridiculous.
But this is where they got us. This is where we are so ingrained in our mind, and we are so just oblivious. And we're so smart, but we're so dumb in a sense. No, all of us, every last one of us, we're so smart, but yet it's still we're so dumb. Because what did we say? I'm getting rid of cable. I'm cord cutting. And we said this out loud. I'm getting rid of cable. I'm cord cutting.
Saving money.
I'm saving money. So what did these companies start doing? Okay, yeah, y'all think y'all want to say something? Okay. What we're going to do is now we're going to start getting these little streaming networks, Peacock, Amazon, NBC,
Netflix,
HBO, Netflix,
YouTube.
And you can only watch what you want to watch on one of these or all these. So you got to buy them.
HBO Max.
You got to buy them in order to watch what you want to watch. Go ahead and cord cut. You think you're saving money? You ain't saving no money. Plus. You're not saving money because you said out loud, we're cord cutting.
Apple and TV. They
keep on naming them. It's a bunch of them out there. So the minute, unless you're not a TV person at all, you would have to be not a sports person. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
You would have to be not a sports person to actually benefit from cord cutting. Because if you cord cutting, you're a sports person, you got to buy all of these other streams to watch what you want to watch. If you're not a sports person, go ahead and cord cut. You don't care about watching
live
Peacock.
Events, really.
Yeah, you don't care about that. You're watching your old shows. You're good with that. But if you're a sports person, man or woman,
you're getting screwed.
Yeah, you might as well get cable.
Right.
Yeah, they're gonna get you.
And where you're seeing it, and this is, we just got done talking about how it's affecting college football and college sports, you know, rights fees. We're seeing it with the regional sports networks, right? That's mm-hmm. affecting, you know, how teams are televising their team's games in baseball, in all of the sports.
Baseball started it first.
Yeah.
But it wasn't called, you know, a streaming network or whatnot. Because if you were in Boston, you can only watch, like, I couldn't watch from Detroit, I couldn't watch a Boston game.
Right.
Right.
If I'm in Detroit, they couldn't watch my game unless it was nationally shown.
Right.
Baseball has their individual markets that right. they cater to.
That are protected exactly. regionally, or you pay extra to get all of the games, just like the Sunday NFL ticket, which uh-huh. is now, of course, me being a person that was plugged in, mm-hmm. I could just call and say, yeah, I'd like, some years I've gotten the Sunday mm-hmm. ticket, and I can watch all the games at my house. Other years I've passed on it, but I had that option. Now, I don't have that option. It's going to be on whatever it is, Apple or YouTube. What is it? YouTube
that's got TV.
It?
And yeah, so now I
got to
get.
So now I got to get that, which I don't have, on top of being plugged in, or I got to unplug and then plug into all the other streaming things. It's very frustrating as a sports consumer, right? So I can understand. Like, I know there's a ton of Predator fans that aren't plugged in, that want to be able to get the Predators games, that haven't gotten it on the YouTube TV or whatever they have in their house.
Right.
And it doesn't revolve around them, but the Predators and a lot of hockey teams end up losing out on people that would otherwise watch some games if it was convenient to get the game. So could you go direct to the consumer? Yep, the people are starting to look at that. Just buy the app that gets you the games, mm-hmm. but you got to pay a little more for that. So where is it? It's a constantly evolving thing. And now this is just the latest thing. The NFL is going to put a playoff game that's going to – the idea is to try to throw the hook out there mm-hmm. and say, you're going to get it. You're going to buy it.
You want to watch it.
You don't think you're going to do it, but you're going to buy Peacock. I promise you. And then that game comes on. You're like, I got to see the game. I got to see it. Okay, I'll subscribe. I'll get the 7-day trial. And then I'll stop, right? There's those people too. All right.
And then you'll get home.
But you can only get it
my,
once.
My grandmother has it. I'll use her password. There's all that stuff. They're trying to cut down on that stuff too, right? They're trying to crack down on your ability to do that, right?
And that's the thing is before, you know, a few Cardinals games, St. Louis Cardinals games have been on Apple TV Plus. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll live without watching that game.
Right, Friday
there are,
night.
Like London yeah. games that are on Peacock. Okay, fine. I'll live without watching, mm-hmm. you know, Green Bay, Tampa Bay in London. I'll live without that. I can't live without a Saturday night primetime yeah. playoff game, and they know what they're doing. And honestly, it feels pretty gimmicky.
Also, like the sports bar, like you before, you just I'll just go to the sports bar and watch it. But does the sports bar have Peacock? Well, that's a decision a business has to make, right?
That's another thing. Is there's a local establishment in town that I love, and I love the owners, and they were telling me, look, to buy Sunday ticket. It's steep for us. Mm-hmm. And then to add on top of the streaming services, like we want to be a sports bar. We want a place where we want to be a place where people come to watch games. But at some point, it's just a little bit too pricey for us to become that. So what are mm-hmm. we? You know, who are we if we aren't a sports bar, if we can't play games? It's
just
complicated.
You're a bar.
It keeps getting more and more complicated.
To be a sports bar. You're just a bar now.
But at the end of the day, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to buy it.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to like it.
Because we're suckers. We're suckers. It's like
total sucker. I'm a pawn in the NFL's big old game of chess, and I don't like it.
We're addicted.
Give me more football. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. One of the biggest stars, icons, and names in sports is caused a little bit of controversy. We'll get into that coming up next. Tim Corbin in 15 minutes. Caroline Ville-DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Ville-DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app. So a little bit of a controversy coming out last night. It's from Aaron Judge. And so I heard the call on the Sportsnet broadcast. And they were saying, well, what's he looking at? What is he looking at over there? And when Aaron Judge is up to bat, you can see his eyes are looking over toward the New York Yankees dugout. Which, of course, it's a big no-no. And it looks a little bit fishy that he's doing that. One of the biggest stars in the sport. One of the biggest sluggers in the sport. He's looking over at the dugout, and of course everybody is on high alert after the 2017 Astros and the cheating scandal, and Aaron Judge comes out after the game and says, oh, I was just looking over at the dugout because they were chirping at the umpire, and you know, we didn't want, I wanted to call them out for chirping at the umpire. We're up 6-0. There's no need to be acting like that. But you two had a little bit of a heated discussion about whether this is really news or not, whether this really should be controversy or not.
Well, it was weird. I had a friend of mine text me what happened on Sportsnet. Dan Shulman, who used to do a lot of ESPN stuff. He was the Sunday Night Baseball announcer for a long time. Now he is doing the Blue Jays games with Buck Martinez, who is a long, long, legendary Toronto broadcaster. So they picked up on Aaron Judge peeking over towards the dugout a couple of times before they told the cameraman to actually try to capture it. So they were onto it before he hit the home runs. That was what was really compelling to me. And sure enough, when they showed it to the audience, they showed him doing it once, twice, and then on the next pitch, he hit the home run. So it was just very peculiar. You would never tell somebody you're trying to teach how to hit, hey, right before the pitch comes in, peek towards your dugout or peek towards the opposite dugout, move your eyes, and then shift back. It's just not something anybody does. So it was just very peculiar of what happens. And I thought Shulman and Martinez did it the right way. They didn't make any direct accusations. They were just kind of like, what's going on here? Of course, when he hits the next home run against their team that they're broadcasting, it's like, this just got a little bit more interesting. So now, after the game, people are asked about it. And of course, traditionally, what has happened at times, if a hitter wanted to peek down towards the catcher to look at where the catcher is setting up his mitt for the target, or worse, try to actually see the signal of the pitch if there's nobody on base, that's considered a big, big no-no. Now, is it against the rules? No. But a catcher is taught, too, to look up at the batter and just make sure he's not peeking. Right, if he's peeking, then you deal with that. You tell the guy you better not do that again, or else the next one's coming in your ear hole. You know, that's sort of the old school, you know, tobacco chewing group. That's what would happen, and so usually it doesn't happen. Right, it just doesn't happen. It's an honor code. You don't look back. You don't peek at the pitcher. So what was Aaron Judge looking at? This is a classy superstar guy that doesn't need to peek at signs. So everybody's just kind of wondering, what's he doing? Was he looking in the dugout? Was somebody giving him information from the dugout right before? So nobody knows for sure, but it created a lot of buzz. And even the Blue Jays people were like, yeah, I don't really know why he would do that, but that was weird.
I mean,
was he trying to get an edge, or was he – what his explanation was, yeah, my manager had just gotten thrown out, which was true. And so I was looking in the dugout. People were chirping. But it was just odd. Nobody does that. Nobody looks the way he looked. And he did it multiple times. It wasn't just then.
But was there – did anyone catch the dugout doing anything sort of nefarious or like, okay, giving you – okay, you look over here. I'm going to give you the signal what they're doing. And then you – did anybody catch the dugout and what they were doing?
They do a pretty good job of camouflaging it. The Astros banged on trash cans.
But okay.
And they were the thing that the Astros were doing that was wrong was that they were doing it off of the TV monitor. They were stealing the signals electronically and then relaying it.
Right.
Now, what has been acceptable is if somebody is tipping the pitch, like, for example, let's say the first base coach can see the signal. Now, what's interesting now is with the what they call the pitch com. Mm-hmm. The catcher most of the time now is not even putting a signal down. He's he is punching numbers into a thing, and it tells the pitcher and the players what pitch is coming. Mm-hmm. So you can't really steal the sign that way. But if a catcher was throwing signals out and the first base coach or the third base coach could see that, there could be a whistle. There could be a – if I knew fastball was coming, I would uh-huh. tell you, hey, Derek, I can see the signs from the dugout. If a fastball is coming, I'm going to say, all right, D-Mace, that's your code, the fastball is coming. If mm-hmm. it's a curveball, I won't say anything. Or I'll say, okay, Derek, here we go, Derek. If I say Derek, that's a curveball. Like that was considered okay. If you could decipher if a team is giving away mm-hmm. the signals, that's considered within the code. You can do that. Mm-hmm. You cannot peek back, and you can't use electronic signals. So I don't know what Judge is looking in the dugout for.
But
that's weird.
I don't think he was looking.
It could have been innocent.
It could have been exactly what he said. They were heckling the umpire, mm-hmm. and he was looking at them like, whoever's doing that, I'm going to rip him a new one whenever I get mm-hmm. back in the dugout. Maybe that's what it was. It could have just been him looking. But also, there's no sport that has more unwritten rules than the sport of baseball. And that's one.
Everything
of them.
Is unwritten in baseball, basically.
Everything is
unwritten. I mean,
it's
cold. Okay.
It's a code.
It's cold. Can't flip your bat. Can't celebrate when you run around. We just don't like that
the
stuff.
The code evolves a little bit. It evolves. It's not as much old school.
Bat flips are welcome.
You're okay now.
Welcome
okay.
to the 21st century baseball.
But the props in the dugout
now that everybody's got, that didn't used to go over very well. But now everybody does it. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to eventually, you got to evolve, man. Listen. If,
but you can't look back and steal the sign. Okay,
I'm not saying – listen, and I don't think Aaron Judge was doing, like, looking down at the catcher to try to steal a sign. It doesn't seem like he was doing that. The guy's, what, about 6'7"? He'd be looking down very far. And it would be more noticeable than that if he's trying to
steal a pitch. It doesn't look like he's looking down.
Yeah, he's
that's
looking
for sure.
over. So my thing is – You got to be careful as an announcer. Yes, you want to bring things to people's attention, but you got to be careful because you know how to throw things out there without assuming. You could throw it out there and let everybody else assume, to let everybody else drum up the story. You know how you throw it out there. You may not be accusing somebody of something, but you've been doing this long enough that you know if I throw that out there, what are people going to do? They're going to assume he's cheating. My thing is this. If you don't want nobody stealing your signals, don't make it obvious. Just like a football game. That's why they start putting up these big cars and hiding things and hiding right. their mouth and all that stuff. Because in the world, in that world, if I'm on one sideline, you on the other, if you are just noticeably throwing up your signs and then if right. I see them.
That's in the code.
You dummy, you need to change something.
But if
you need
if
to do something different.
But the catcher has to put his target up. If he's looking at the target, to me, that would be the
yeah, if he
balance.
Was looking down, that's bad. Then. But he doesn't seem like he was
but
looking
I'm not
down.
Sure. We're not sure what he was doing. So this is what the Blue Jays manager, John Schneider, said. Now, John Schneider, like for those artists, that's uh-huh. that's the Dukes of Hazzard
yeah.
guy, right?
Yeah.
Was that, wasn't that the actor's name? Bo and Luke Duke. Yeah. That was what John Low Schneider was the teen. He's like a teen heartthrob. But anyway, this is a different John Schneider. Was he aware of the footage? He said he saw it. Kind of odd that a hitter would be looking in that direction. He's obviously looking in that direction for a reason. And I think we'll dive into it a little bit more tonight just to make sure that we're not making ourselves susceptible to tendencies or location or pitches or anything like that. But it was, yeah, kind of odd. So to me, that's what you do if you're the Blue Jays. You don't make a big deal of it, but you go to the Yankees in some form or fashion saying, I know what you're doing. I'm not sure. I'm not
but
making
you can't
accusations.
Even go to, you can't even go to the
do
Yankees.
Do not do that again.
You can't go to the Yankees.
If you do that again, there will be consequences.
You can't go to – why?
There's going to be one in his back between the two numbers
in
his back.
You have to go to your –
and there will be a brawl if necessary.
You have to go to your pitcher and whoever's throwing out the signals and say, hey, listen, I don't know if it, – what are we doing? What – are our signals. Obviously, you know, he knows the signals, but he's thinking like, okay, maybe we need to change some things up because maybe we're getting too predictable. I can't stop them from looking. They're doing their job because I best believe
yeah.
if I saw that team was predictable in what they're doing, I'm going to take advantage of it. So I can't then go to the Yankees. If you come to
but
me.
But you better not peek at my mitt. No. If I'm the catcher, I'm saying you better not look back.
Oh, yeah. Looking at the catcher is something different. But if I'm just looking over and your signals is out there, if you, Caroline, is the manager for the Blue Jays and you come to me, I'm looking at you like, man, get the hell out of my face. Like, what are you talking about? Like, don't make it obvious. If I was, don't make it so obvious. You need to go check your coaches, not me.
I'm not cheating. Yeah. Your signals are just too obvious.
Exactly. Everybody can see them. Ray Charles can see them. Stevie Wonder can see them. Come on. Derek can see them, and I can barely see my own screen. Goodness gracious.
We'll talk to Tim Corbin about it coming up next. Vanderbilt head baseball coach. It's Caroline Relay D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.